Welcome to the Coach Curl podcast. In a world of increasing pace and complexity, Coach Curl invites you on a journey of simplicity, a simple approach to life, helping you align your actions in becoming the greatest version of you. To simplify and purify your life, it starts now. Life isn't easy, but it can be simple. Tony Curl is the author of Seriously Simple Stuff to Get You Unstuck. It's time for you to break those shackles of stuck. Let's get you moving forward. It's time for the Coach Curl podcast.
Hey there, it's Tony here from the Coach Curl podcast. And today we're talking about shifting mindsets in two key areas for the greater good of this world. Stay tuned. Hey there and welcome to the Coach Curl podcast. Today we're talking about just a couple of things that I'm increasingly becoming aware of, and increasingly I guess there's a sense of frustration in the way that the world is heading in some respects. And the first aspect I want to talk about is this concept of diversity. And, you know, the word diversity, if you've been in the workforce or in career development or been in some executive level within a business, diversity would have come across the table at some way, shape, at some time within that business. And we talk about diversity in much the way, same way as we talk about the diversification of a product line or a diversification of product acquisition, or we're diversifying and we're buying different, we're acquiring different companies. It's almost like a company strategy. It's almost like a corporate strategy to embrace the concept of multicultural communities, because at the end of the day, we are living, especially in the Western societies, in increasingly multicultural societies. And so the word diversity is one that we use to encompass that. And then we ask people to be tolerant, and we ask them to, and we teach them tolerance. In some of the better companies, they put together things like respectful workplace policies. So we need to respect each other, and we need to respect the multicultural customs, and hopefully they respect ours. So it becomes something that has never really sat with me, the concept of diversity within the workplace. And it's not because I don't appreciate our multicultural community. I very much so. But the word itself has never really struck the cultural vein that I think that we should be moving to. And recently a friend of mine posted on LinkedIn a comment from a lady called Pat Wadors, who is the head of HR in LinkedIn. And she talks about the concept of belonging as opposed to the concept of diversity. And for probably the first time, that one simple word, belonging, summed it up. Summed it up what companies, what communities, what countries should be trying to do. We shouldn't be looking to tolerate each other, because how horrible does that sound? We shouldn't be imposing respect when there's a lack of understanding that generates that respect. But the concept of belonging is a real community concept, and it's one that sat incredibly well with me. It was something that it's one of those concepts that all it takes is one person to say it, and then many others, like I'm doing now, sharing it, because belonging is such a stronger word. And it's a stronger word in terms of the community that you wish to build, in terms of the multicultural workforce that you have in your company now. And it absolutely suits the type of countries that we want to be. You know, no matter which country that is, we want people to belong to that country. And what I also really like about the word belonging, it's got shared responsibilities. For people to belong to a community, there must be an understanding, and there must be comprehension of what that community is. So when people move in to a new community, of course, they now have a shared responsibility to belong to that community. Just as the community has a shared responsibility to accept them into the community. And the concept of belonging was like turning the world upside down, because diversity never sat with me. It just didn't sit with me. To me, it was too corporate. It was too strategy. It was too strategic. It was like, let's diversify a product line. Let's diversify our offices. Let's diversify and central. It was almost like centralizing. You know, it was just another bit of jargon in the corporate world, and diversity just never cut it. Now, I agree we have diverse communities out there. We have diverse workforces out there. But wouldn't it be better if we talked about belonging? Wouldn't it be better if we talked about everyone within that workforce, everyone within that community, and everyone within that country belonged to that country? Now, I know that that's almost like a foreign concept to what potentially is happening out there at the moment, but isn't that an amazing thing? And the shared responsibilities and the shared impact of belonging sits there to make sure that we all belong to the community, that we're all doing our best to enhance that community. We're all doing our best to make that community, that culture, that workplace, that country, the very best that it can be. So thank you very much, Pat, the head of HR at LinkedIn. I think that is an amazing concept, and I hope, and I really do hope, that people around the world listen to that message. It's Pat Wadaz, who's the head of HR of LinkedIn, and she's talking about belonging. And she's talking about that from a corporate angle. She's talking about that from a community angle. We want people to belong. We don't want to accept. We don't want to tolerate acceptance. We don't want to just respect people. We want people to belong. And belonging gives us that shared responsibility of understanding and comprehending each other and loving each other and caring for each other. And that's something that diversity cannot ever imagine as a word, or can never mean as a word. We have a diversified community means jack shit. We have a community where people belong means everything. So I just ask you, do some research, check it out, share it with the world. The concept of belonging is one that we certainly need to be driving. And once again, thank you very much, Pat.
Join the group of people impacted by Seriously Simple Stuff to get you unstuck. The first book by Tony Coach Curl. Available at Amazon, Tony's Simple Stuff provides the tool for people to master your life and aspirations. 20% of every book sold supports Carter's cause. Back to Coach Curl.
The other concept that I really want to talk about today, because it's something that we just can't escape from. I mean, our world today is changing at a faster rate than, or arguably a faster rate than, at any other time in history. You know, when you think about the technological advances that have happened just since this iPhone became invented in 2007, you would be hard-pressed to find a 10-year snippet in history where the world has changed to the extent that it has. You know, and technology is something that should benefit us, and it should be something that enhances our lives. It should be something that enhances our productivity. It should be something that enhances the performance of our countries, of our companies, of our businesses. But instead, what seems to have taken fold since, you know, we had the early dot-com crash, and then we've had this resurgence. You know, we've seen companies, like huge companies like Facebook and Google, really become monopolies in their own way. I know in the true sense of the word, there's probably a multitude of other companies out there that are attempting to take away market share. But when you think about Google in terms of search and getting found online, the power that it has is incredible. But also what we're seeing is that because there are such a relatively few companies out there that are just generating huge amounts of value within their business because of this concept of disruption. You know, we've seen Uber, and Uber's the most visible one, and we'll talk about that, but there's many other companies out there that have disrupted industries, that have disrupted economies right around the world. But let's look at Uber. Uber have gone out and systematically provided a product that's not profitable. Let's be honest here. They have yet to make money. Yet they seem to have more money than most other businesses out there. So, you know, I'm in business for myself, and unless you're making a profit, and unless you're making a profit through a customer, you're not running a very good business. But it seems that companies like Uber get rewarded. So, but they've gone out and they've disrupted taxi and public transport systems right around the world. Yet they're still to make a profit. You know, we look at, and that's almost absurd, because once again, where we're heading, and I know that Uber's now got competitors, and there's companies out there like Lyft, and there's other app and ride sharing tools that. But Uber's the big one, you know. Let's face facts now. So they've gone out, they've disrupted an industry. They've probably created lots and lots of people that have moved platforms. You know, there's been some taxi drivers, no doubt, that now drivers, Uber drivers, and I'm always a big believer that the best in any industry will be the ones that continue to rise to the top. So there's no doubt, but there's no doubt that the best taxi drivers have stayed in business, that the best limousine drivers have stayed in business, that the best public transport networks are still a viable option. So, but when we look at, you know, the impact on not the best, you know, and we've had many, many people bankrupted. We've had, I mean, just here in Brisbane, in my hometown, there's traffic licenses that were paid to the government, and that's a completely different story, because I think that governments are incredibly greedy when it comes to regulations, because they're seeing their revenue base completely get dismantled. But they people paying, you know, multiple hundreds of thousands of dollars for taxi licenses that are now worth like 50. You know, it's, you know, there's people that have just been disrupted because of a company, a disruptive force that has come out into those industries and are still yet to make a profit. So I'll just reiterate that. So, you know, I've just read an illuminating book, and it's by a gentleman called Andrew Keen, and it's called The Internet Is Not the Answer. And it's an amazing book, because he actually sums up and he says, well, the internet's not the answer. The current format of the internet is not the answer. Because we're creating, well, two things that really stand out for me is that we're creating a group of entrepreneurs who are like uber rich, and making some dollars out of IPOs and valuations of companies. But we're also having governments right around the world throw money into this innovation sector. And I mean, I cannot honestly talk about any sort of failure stats that I've seen written, but, you know, many people that I talk to that are involved in startup communities and innovation aspects talk about it like a 90% failure rate. So we've got governments around the world throwing money into this innovation segment, and then for the use of that money and the privilege of using that money, we're failing. So I really do question, because Andrew does actually say, well, the internet could be the answer if it decided to be the answer. And I tend to agree with him, because, you know, for one thing, I'm really annoyed and I'm getting really disillusioned about this concept of innovation. It seems that every day there's a new entrepreneur saying that they're going to disrupt X industry and this is what they're going to do. And ultimately a lot of that is self-serving. But the current industries in many ways have themselves to blame, because they have the absolute ability now to make technology and innovation and the rate of change enhance their industry, grow their industry, make it better, more, make it more sustainable. But once again, statistics are indicating to us that that is not the case. We've got existing businesses out there that aren't investing in R&D, aren't investing in innovation, aren't actually interested in innovation. And many people will say that's because, Tony, they've got their head down, bum up, trying to make as much, trying to keep their business afloat. And that may very well be the case. But can I tell you, when there's innovation companies that are only interested in disruption, only interested in disruption, and the greater the disruption of the industry, the greater the valuation in their business. If I'm in business in an industry now, I would be joining forces and I'd be saying, how do we innovate to enhance? You know, let's look at retail as an industry. Now, retail have been their own worst enemy in many ways, having bored people standing behind counters, you know, been not having consistent stock flow, not having inviting premises, not creating an experience. So of course, when online retailing started to take hold, of course, many people flocked to it. But the vast majority of people still want some level of social contact. They still want some level of physically touching, feeling the goods. And that's not what we're good at. You read reports in the US at the moment of how many stores JP Penney's going to close, how many Sears stores are going to be closed, how many stores are Macy's closing. Now, these are huge name in the retail industry, and they're closing hundreds of stores each. Now, they all have online strategies. They all have this omni-channel thing happening for them, but they're still closing their stores. They're still closing their doors. So they've got some real challenges ahead. I was in a shop, in a sporting goods shop here in Australia, 2 days after New Year's. Now, anyone who shops here in Australia knows that our Boxing Day sales now start on Christmas Day, as they probably do in America and as they probably do right around the world. Those online sales start on Christmas Day, just like Black Friday now in the US starts on Thanksgiving as opposed to the day after Thanksgiving. So I was listening to this shop assistant try to explain to a lady why they didn't have an advertised item in the store. And the gentleman said, the reality was we had 19 and they were all sold with online orders prior to us even opening the doors. So retailers are rewarding people sitting at home doing their shopping and not the people that are coming into the shop. And that's a challenge that the retail industry has to face. And sooner or later, they need to be making decisions. Where do they want their customers? Or how can they combine these omni-channels so that they're getting the best of both worlds? Because no one seems to be doing it well. I'm going to share some stats with you when, you know, this comes out of Andrew Keen's book, and it's about the comparison between Kodak and the comparison between Instagram. Now, as Instagram and Facebook and Flickr and all of those became disruptors to the photographic industry, and it wasn't just Kodak that were challenged by this. You know, the amount of photographers working on American newspapers fell by 43% during that time. Professional photographers have been hit badly by the concept of this disruptive forces of Facebook, Flickr and Instagram. And I'm not here to defend Kodak, because any company that tries to hide technology to protect a level of their business, to my mind, was a dumb business idea, which is what Kodak did with digital technology. They hid that to protect their film business. So this isn't a, oh, woe is Kodak, because Kodak made some dumb decisions, but this is just a pure and simple comparison. So when Instagram were purchased by Facebook or acquired by Facebook. And Facebook paid $1 million for the startup. Instagram had 13 employees. So we had a company that was valued at $1 billion because that was the price that Facebook paid. And they had 13 employees. 13 full-time employees, sorry. I'll just make that 13 full-time employees. So who else was working for Instagram? Well, each and every person that's on Instagram becomes this unpaid workforce in many ways. And, you know, I love Instagram just like the next guy, but this is purely comparison. So at the same time that Facebook are paying $1 billion for the startup, Kodak in Rochester in the USA was closing 13 factories, 130 photo labs, and laying off 47,000 workers. As I said, Kodak made some dumb decisions. They could have definitely been the pioneer if they thought about how do they enhance their industry. So the reasons for my rant is really simple. I'm tired of hearing the word disruption. I'm tired of hearing that as like a badge of honor that some new entrepreneur wears. I'm going to disrupt so-and-so. What I would much rather see is businesses and industry out there using technology and innovation to enhance their industry. It's a very beautiful way to think about how we should be looking after the greater good of humanity and how do we keep people in jobs. Well, let's work as industries and let's work as businesses and let's enhance what we do, not disrupt what we do. When we disrupt, it caused massive job losses. And there hasn't been a disruption yet where that hasn't proved to be the case. But let's look at enhancing what we do using technology, using innovation, using that mindset of continual improvement, and let's change our focus. Let's start using our mindset and our skills and the abilities and even the ideas of these young startup entrepreneurs to enhance what we do and not disrupt what we do.
Coach Curl proudly supports Carter's cause, raising funds for Heart Kids Australia, honouring the brave legacy of Heart Angel Carter, who passed in 2013, just 30 days old. All funds raised by Carter's cause go to aid the families of kids born with congenital heart disease. Learn more by visiting www.carterscause.org.au.
Well, that's another episode of the Coach Curl podcast. Thanks very much for tuning in. A big shout out to the sponsor, Think and Grow Business. Don't forget to visit carterscause.org.au and show them some love, and they appreciate your ongoing support. Don't forget, rule number one,
don't be an asshole.
Until next time, I'll see you then.